Thanks for joining us on the Father's House Podcast, where we are bringing hope and impacting our community by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. We're so glad you're here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe your life will be transformed through this week's message. So let's jump right into it.
Well, good morning. Wasn't that a great time of worship today? Man, I mean, I can't even carry a tune or clap on beat, but man, I was going with that. Man, what a great team. Tim and I, we was ready to do a duet there, weren't we? In case we haven't told you lately, Anita and I just want you to know that we love you. And those of you who are watching online, we're so glad that you're watching with us today. We are always blessed when our friends are with us. And today we also, they brought a family member with them who is a very key, integral part of The Rock in Arizona. Two churches in Arizona, one in Oklahoma City. Kelly, would you please stand? This is Kelly Goff, their daughter in love. Kelly is one of the campus pastors and also is one of the ministry coordinators for The Rock, and so powerful. But we have, you can be seated if you want, Kevin, you know, just because Melissa's going to talk for a little while today. That's usually different, all right? But we're just so thankful that that Kevin and Melissa are with us today. And as you know, in March, as we've been planning for the last 5 years, we've been planning for 5 years this partnership with The Rock USA. When you pull in, you see the name on our church, the Father's House, a Rock USA church. We'll become part of three other churches already, three others that are part of the 12 churches, that the campuses that God has spoken to Kevin and Melissa about. So we're not going anywhere. We'll still be part of the speaking team and Pastor Emeritus, but Anita and I also in March will be traveling and helping smaller churches. We've been doing that now for a while. We've got three or four that we're helping. I mean, it's just an expansion of where we are now. But we are so thankful that we have competent people who love God and love you and know more names than I do. For you that are here, always asking, and we're just so blessed and honored. Now, you hear them minister a lot, but I felt like it'd be important today to talk about something that's dear to all of us, and that's family. And they've got a great family. We don't think about this sometime, that when they're always traveling, you think, oh, wow, that's just glorious. Well, it's not glorious. Look, when I used to travel 40 years ago, it was glorious. Seats were wide. The people that took care of you were nice. And no TSA. It was a fun time. But now you feel like a cattle car, and you just pushed in. You should get a tetanus shot when you get off the plane. But they do that almost every week. And that means they're away from their family a lot. They miss things. So, Melissa, we love your family, and I think the church needs to be able to put an image to when we say and talk about your family. So would you tell us a little bit about your family today?
Well, it's an honor to be here, and we always love. You are an extended family of ours, and we're so honored that we get to be here as often as we do, and we're going to actually be here a lot more often. But as you know, Pastor Kevin and myself, we have had a testimony, and God's brought us through a journey of being divorced and remarried, and just God miraculously redeemed and saved our lives, saved our marriage. So marriage is incredibly vital to us, to know that the church isn't any stronger than the marriages in that church. And so it's part of our heartbeat to really strengthen marriages and the family unit. It means everything to us. And my boys mean everything to me. They are just the most precious gifts God has ever given to me. And he's also blessed us with daughter-in-laws that we absolutely adore. We couldn't have asked for anything more great in our lives. But along with that, if you know a mommy's heart, you know that there is, even though they're not in your home, that doesn't mean that they're not still in your heart. And so there's always journeys that we have to go on. And when we said yes to ministry, we said yes to knowing that that was going to lead us down a journey of not being able to do everything we want to do in life and be with our family as much as we want to be with them. It means I'm missing, you know, tournaments and cheer, you know, recitals and all the hockey games and all the things that the grandkids are part of, because I love my boys, but my granddarlings are the most amazing things in the world. And if you're a grandma, you know that you want to be with them as much as possible. And when I said yes to ministry, and then we said yes to taking on other campuses and being gone a lot, I knew that that was going to be something that I was going to have to sacrifice. And you know, my boys, I pray for them, and I would ask that you pray for us as well, because my boys are always in my heart, because like I said, they're not in your home anymore. They're always a part of your heart. And my oldest son, he had just went through a whole career transition, and I was praying because he had no job, and I was like, God, you got to show up. And he showed miraculously the hand of God, and God gave him a supernatural job that just is a beautiful gift to their family and their beautiful girls. And then my younger son, he is in the law enforcement, and he has, right now I can't even show a picture. I can show pictures of my grandbabies, but I can't show pictures of him because he's had life threats. He has the cartel that's got his name somehow, and so I can't talk about him or show pictures of him. I had to scrape him from my social media, so if you don't see him, don't think that I don't love him. I do love him. But those are just parts of our lives that you might not know and you might not see, but I pray that you pray for us. As much as we're praying for your families and we love your families, I ask that you cover my grandchildren and you cover my boys and my granddarlings and my granddaughter-in-laws and our marriage, you know, because Pastor Kevin is not perfect. And he needs all the prayer that you can give him. But we love you guys, and we thank you so much for always being a standing in the gap type church, and we're going to stand with you as you stand with us, and we do life together, and I thank you for that honor and privilege. All right, we have Atticus. He is the boy on the left. We have London on the top. She's my oldest, and Brinley right below her. That is Austin and Kelly's daughters, and then we have Scarlett and Atticus and Leo, the little scrumptious little boy up front. He is the little spunk of our house and the little oopsie as well, but we are so happy for that little oopsie, and they are the joy of my life. They are everything to me, and so when you think of us, pray for all of us. I would really appreciate that.
Well, listen, by the raising of your hand, how many of you, now that you've seen the picture and the Lord's brought that to your heart, that every day when you think about it, at least once a week, you think and pray for their family. Can I just see you raise your hand? Father, we just commit right now that we're going to spend time praying for these leaders. The higher you go and the more influence you have, the harder the enemy attacks. So we just commit that we're going to be prayers and supporters. And Lord, that you're going to keep them, strengthen them, be with them in your name.
Amen. You know, not everybody can do that, all that travel, but God has graced them and anointed them to do it. That's why when we hear it, we go, I could never do that. Yeah, because God didn't call us to do that. He called them to do that. So we love them so much. If you want more good, bad, and ugly of their life, Melissa wrote a book. It's called Not Beyond Hope. And it is an amazing story of just redemption.
All my imperfections.
All your imperfections. So now you really got to pray hard for him and her. But we have these for sale out front in our church merch, actually on the way out. And Melissa would love to sign one if you purchased one. So this is an amazing story, and it's nothing but the grace of God that brought you through. Amen?
Hey, hey. How y'all doing today? How many's ready for the word? This section's on fire. How many's ready for the word? Woo! All right. I love it. I'm Kevin. I am the imperfect one. And I'm in good company. You know, church is always a perfect place for imperfect people. And the last perfect person there was crucified. So he was done for me and for you. Amen. And so we're so glad to be here. We love y'all so very much. We love your pastors, Pastor Terry and Anita. They've been special to us for so many years now. Literally, we just love them as family. Pastor Terry and I talk several times throughout the week, and we tell the girls they're going to learn how to be friends to us. By watching us, they're going to learn how to be friends. And of course, my wife, you just heard from her, and my daughter-in-law, which I love so very much. And here we've had several years to build relationships at the Father's house, and so many of the friendships we have here, we just treasure. And As much as family is important to us, as my wife said, you are an extension of our family. And if I've not met you yet, it's not because I haven't tried. So stick around. I'll try to meet you after church because that is vitally important to us that we would know you and just get to know your story as well. We love you so much. Let's pray over the word. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together. God, we pray that right now, we know your word is anointed, but we pray you'd anoint our ears to hear what you have for us, God, that we'll renew our minds according to your word. We'll do your will, God. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you've called each one of us to a purpose and to a point in life, God, that we'll be used in your ways and in your will. In the name of Jesus, come on and say amen. Have you ever noticed that whenever you try to do something for God, it seems like all hell breaks loose? Has anyone ever noticed that? It seems like every time we go to build something, we go to do something, the enemy fights, circumstances break out. My wife and I, when we started this church, 4 months into starting the church is when we had our accident that broke my wife's neck, broke her back, and killed our 9-year-old twin son. That was the beginning 4 months of starting our church almost 30 years ago. So when hell breaks loose, many times we start to think, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. The enemy wants us to think, maybe it's time to stop. But the truth is, maybe that sign isn't a sign to stop. Maybe it's a flashing neon sign saying you're doing the right thing and you're building something that is meant to last. Amen? How many knows the enemy only fights when you're on track to do something good for God? He don't worry when you're not doing the will of God. He's only concerned when you are doing the will of God. And so we know together we'll fight. We know together we can stand. And there are many principles we're going to talk about this morning. And so we want you to just follow along as we go into this. Once again, this series is called Built to Last. Everyone say Built to Last. And the title we're going to give you for your notes today, if you're taking notes, make sure you take this title down. We're going to talk about build through the battle. Because here's the truth. Most of the time, the attack isn't a sign to quit. It's a sign that you're on the right track. It's a sign to keep going forward. It's a sign to buckle down and set your eyes upon God. It's a sign to gather together so we can fight together. It's a sign that says God is with you so he can be against you and no one can defeat you. Amen? So I want to talk about just some of those things today. I want to talk about what it looks like to be in the middle of God's will and to know there's pressure, to know there's things coming against us, to know there's voices that are critical, to know that many times resistance gets loud, but to know in the middle of that, we can still make it. We can still overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen? So here's the question we have to ask ourselves today. How do we keep building when resistance shows up? How do we keep building when critical spirits and criticism shows up? How do we keep building when people are speaking against us and when people are fighting against us? Nehemiah shows us in this story that you've been going through now for a few weeks, he shows us three powerful ways we're going to talk about today that we can keep going even though it seems like hell's coming against us. Can you say amen? So write these things down. I'm going to give you the first one right away. Here it is. Number one, we battle resistance with focus. We battle resistance with focus. Everyone say focus. You might not believe this, but when I was younger, I was very hyperactive. I know that's hard to believe, but as I sat up here and shake my leg and I move my feet, and my wife says, you're always moving your feet. You're always banging drums on the table. I said, that's because I've always got something going on in my head. I've always got some movement going on. I'm hyperactive. I always say I've got energy I've never spent before. And so that was the way it was in school. I was always sent home with notes that said, Kevin has spring fever. He's up and around the room too much. Or Kevin's a social butterfly. He's talking to all the other students all day long. And my dad would say, you need to calm down. Anyone else feel my pain? Come on, you are my people. And so together we understand that we have this that God brings in us, and we have to focus. There's a focus that has to come. I've had to learn through the years that when I'm being fought by the enemy, there has to be a focus to overcome resistance. Can you say amen? As soon as Nehemiah and the people begin rebuilding the wall that we've been talking about now for several weeks, resistance rises up. Resistance shows up. Resistance shows its ugly head against the work of God. Sambalat and Tobias comes along and begins to criticize them, begins to talk about how the wall would never be built and how the wall, even if it was built, even if a fox crawled upon it, it would fall down. And so here comes those voices of criticism. Here comes those voices of negativity. Here comes those voices that says you'll never accomplish God's will. It's the same voice that you and I hear, although a different name. It's the same enemy, because the devil doesn't want the kingdom of God being built. Can you say amen? And we have to understand, many times it's people. People will criticize. Many times it's the enemy whispering, who do you think you are? But also many times it's ourselves remembering our past more than God's future. It's remembering who we used to be instead of God saying who we are and our identity in who we are in Christ. Can you say amen? And so we have to focus on the fact of what God has declared concerning you and I, who God said we truly are. But notice this, Nehemiah in this story never engages with the enemy. He never goes out and worries about what is being said. Earlier, I was on social media and I had made a comment on a post that probably I shouldn't have made because I crawled into an area a pastor probably shouldn't crawl into because it had something that was very opinionated. And when I went back, there was like 1,200 comments that was like fighting back and forth about some fighting for me, some fighting against me, some fighting for me, some fighting against me. And all of a sudden, I found myself reading all the negative ones. Oh, they're fighting against me. They're fighting against me. They're fighting against me. And I was reminding myself, Kevin, you're doing the very thing in first service you said you should never do, which is engage with distraction. How many knows we're all prone to look at the distractors? We're all prone to look at the negativity. We're all prone to see who's coming against us. But if God be for me, who can be against me? No one can defeat me because I'm called to do the will of God. Amen? Nehemiah doesn't waste his time arguing with Sanballat and Tobias. He doesn't waste his time going out and worrying about what the critics might be saying. Instead, he prays and he just keeps building. Come on, look at someone and say, just keep building. He also takes the team's focus and he puts it back on the project. He puts it back on the mission, right? We've got too much work in our hands and we've got too much purpose in our heart to worry about what the enemy might think about us. I've got work in my hands. I've got purpose in my heart. I don't have time to hear what the enemy might say about me. Can you say amen? So when resistance rises from critics, from circumstances, or even from our own doubts, we don't fight back with fear, we fight back with faith. Faith is the common denominator to overcoming. Faith is how we overcome the world. Faith is how we overcome circumstances. Faith is how we keep moving forward, amen? So he refocused on the project. He refocused the team and the builders back on the project. He said, don't look at the distractors. Look at the work that's ahead of us. Do you know that? You know why the noise did not distract him? Because he was anchored in the mission. We have a mission here. It's loving God, loving others, and serving the world. Come on, loving God, loving others, and serving the world. As long as we're focused on that, we'll be anchored in what God can do. As long as we're focused on that, we won't worry about distractors. As long as we're focused on that, criticism don't matter. Because if God's called us to it, he will bring us through it. Amen? And so we have to understand what that focus is, how important it is. Because the mission kept Nehemiah anchored, we know the mission will also keep us anchored. Look at this, Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 4 and 6. He says, hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. For the people worked with all their, for the people worked with all their heart. Not parts of their heart, not just segments of their heart. The people had a mind to work with all of their heart. Write this down in your notes. We don't waste energy on criticism. We invest energy in the mission. Come on. We don't waste energy on criticism. We invest energy in the mission. I don't have energy for my critics. I don't have energy for the distractors. I don't have energy for those who tell me what I cannot do. I only have energy for the promises of God, the word of God, the mission of God, the plan of God. When we're doing that and busy with that, how many knows the distractors do not matter, critics do not matter, because God has called us to do a great work to build the house of the Lord, amen? It's the same determination the Apostle Paul had. He's one of my favorite Bible characters. You'll hear me talk about Paul throughout this message because he is, to me, a man of all men. He was strong. He was strong in his faith, and he was strong in his determination. We know that he was beaten. We know that he was shipwrecked. We know he's snake bitten. We know he's knocked in the head. But Paul kept going forward because he had the same determination that we read in the book of Nehemiah. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, here's what Paul said. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Christ, for which Christ or for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. It's this Paul that said, I forget those things which are behind. I press toward the mark, the prize, and the calling in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I don't worry about what was behind me. I don't worry about what I once was. I don't worry about my past. I worry about what God has called me to. I think of the mission God has planted me in. I think of the work that God has called me to do, and that keeps me focused. You might think, well, that's the Apostle Paul. Yeah, but his name used to be Saul. He was guilty of murder. He was the one that held Stephen's coat while they stoned him. There was a lot that Paul had to put in the past. There was a lot that Paul could look back and say, I remember who I used to be. But he didn't do that. He said, God called me to a higher place. God called me to a new place. I'm going to stay focused where God has placed me. I don't care who I used to be. I only know where I'm going. Amen? Look at someone and say, do you know where you're going? And so I want us to see that same thing in our lives, pressing toward that prize, pressing toward that mark, making sure we're connected to what God has called us heavenward for, amen? Here's the second thing I want you to write down. We battle discouragement with faith. We battle discouragement with faith. Now, we know we don't wrestle flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. We don't fight against one another, but there's still a fight. It's the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are in a spiritual battle. Amen? How many can feel at times you're in a spiritual battle? How many knows you got to know how to fight a spiritual fight? Can you say amen? Halfway through the wall, as we just read, and we'll catch it right here, halfway through building the wall, discouragement sets in. Do you know it's in the middle of anything that discouragement tends to set in? I don't know how many of you women here have had a baby. If you've had a baby, lift your hand up. Do you remember the middle of your labor? Do you remember that? Sometimes you forget because you had more babies. You asked for more. So somewhere you forgot the pain. But in the middle of labor, I remember my wife when she was having her first baby. In the middle of labor, she was so tired. I said, come on, baby. You can do it. You can push it. She said, shut up and get out of here. No, she didn't really say that. She's nicer than that. Even my first wife was nicer than that, but sorry, baby, I love you. We all know the feeling. In the middle, we get tired. That's why they have a halftime in sports. They have a time for a break, a time for a team talk, a time for a coaching series, a time to catch your breath, a time to think of the second half. It's a time to think of what's coming forward. A time to remember why you're there. A time to remember the wind that's out there. A time to remember the prize that we're waiting on. A time to think, I might be tired, but I'm moving on. Can you say amen? Faith gives us strength when our strength runs low. It keeps us pressing forward. We don't deny the battle. We simply remember who fights for us. Come on. We do not fight on our own. God fights with us. God fights for us. Amen? And by the way, discouragement isn't always external either. We think of discouragement like the enemy's coming. We have critics out there. But sometimes it comes from within. That's what happens when we catch verse 10, right? The strength of the workers is starting to fade. The strength of the workers is getting weak. They begin to set their sights on the rubble. They begin to say there's so much rubble here, will never rebuild the wall. The words are coming out of their mouth that are negative. They're at that halftime moment when Coach Nehemiah needs to step up. There needs to be something said. Somebody needs some rest. Somebody needs some encouragement. Can you say amen? Amen. So the energy fades and the rubble starts to look bigger than the promise. But as much as discouragement isn't external, as much as discouragement is not external, sometimes encouragement isn't either. Sometimes we know that the discouragement we speak to ourselves. We don't need an enemy when we're beating ourselves up. But as much as discouragement sometimes isn't external, sometimes encouragement isn't external either. It seems like sometimes when I was weakest, there was no one there to speak to my heart. There was no one there to encourage my faith. There was no one there to say, you can make it, Kevin. So that's why 1 Samuel 30 verse 6 says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Come on, David encouraged himself in the Lord. What message are you preaching to yourself? What message are you speaking to your heart? What words are you declaring over your mind? I'm telling you, when no one else is around, when there's no one there to encourage you, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. You can speak the promises of God, which are yes and amen. Come on, y'all with me. I don't know about you, But with this energy I've got, I don't need someone to cheer me on. I'm cheering myself on. Come on, y'all with me. You might think I'm 5'8½", but I'm 6 foot tall and bulletproof. Oh, you better be careful what you say. The enemy hears. I know the enemy hears me. He don't scare me. He walks around like a roaring lion, but his teeth have been pulled out. Y'all with me? He's gumless. No, toothless. He's all gum. He's trying to gnaw you to death. I don't know why I'm doing that. But I think you're going to remember the point. That the roaring lion, seeking about who he may devour, had his teeth pulled out, and he's doing nothing but trying to gum you to death. He ain't got no bite. He's only got bark. He's only got a roar, and you get scared over a roar. I'm telling you right now, let the promises of God be louder than his voice, because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Amen? I'm a preaching here today. Y'all making me excited now. I'm starting to work up a sweat up here. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Discouragement is the devil's favorite tool. Think about that. If he can get you discouraged, he's not going to worry about you. It's his favorite tool. It makes us want to quit what God has called us to accomplish. It makes us want to give up on what God said is already ours, right? Nehemiah, Coach Nehemiah knows the team's getting tired. He hears the fear, and then what he does? He speaks faith. I've never known a coach of any team that called you at halftime and said, I don't think we can win this one, guys. You're discouraged, and you have the right to be. You're getting beat up out there. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking second half ain't going to go so good. Coach Nehemiah hears the discouragement. He knows the team's tired. And then he speaks words of faith. He reminds him, don't listen to those voices. Don't listen to Sanballat and Tobias. Remember the Lord your God. Don't listen to those voices. Hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. He lifts their eyes off of the rubble back onto God. Nehemiah 4. Verses 13 and 14. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your homes. Faith doesn't move the battle. It strengthens us to build through it. See, we want faith to move the battle. We want faith to remove the problem. We want faith to remove the critics. Faith don't remove those things all the time, but it gives us the strength to continue to build regardless what comes against us. Fight for your husbands. Fight for your wives. Fight for your children. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your homes. Come on, y'all with me. When I looked in the back seat of my car and I watched my 9-year-old son die, and I looked at how beat up my wife was, who they didn't think she was going to make it either, with a broken neck and a broken back and every bone in her face shattered. When I look in the back seat of something like that in my mind, because I can still see those images, the enemy tells me all the time, I really brought you pain, didn't I? And I remind him all the time, all you did was give me an investment in heaven. I'm fighting all the harder because one day I'm going to see my son again. You didn't take me down. You just, listen, here's how I say it. You didn't take me down. You just tick me off. Y'all caught that little tick, right? Just make sure you got the reference there. Fight for your homes. You're in a battle. I'm not saying you won't get tired. You might be tired now. It might be halftime. Maybe this is your pep talk. Maybe this is Coach Kevin say, you're going to be all right. Just grab another breath. Keep on breathing. Your heart's still beating. You're going to be fine. You're going to wake up tomorrow. You're going to get through this. I'm not saying the battle's not hot. I'm not saying you're not going through a hard time. I'm not saying c'est la vie, that's just the way it goes. Because I'm telling you right now, it hurts. Sometimes it hurts because hell's coming against you. But I'm telling you right now, there's a God in heaven named Jesus who overcome all of death, hell, and the grave. Come on, somebody. Paul says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We have troubles all around us, but we are not defeated. We often don't know what to do, but we don't give up. We are persecuted, but God does not leave us. We hurt sometimes, but we are not destroyed. Come on, how many of here has ever been hurt before? Come on, lift your hand. You ever been hurt in life? Lift your hand up. If you've been hurt, it's every hand. How many can say, you're still breathing? I hope so, because you're sitting there looking at me. I see people who are still breathing. The same people who was hurt in life, you're still breathing. The same people the enemy tried to take you out, you're still living. The people that when the enemy said, you're not going to make it, you're still making it. And I'm telling you right now, take one step and put it in front of the next, because God's not through with you. As long as you got breath you're breathing, you got a heart that's beating, God's not through with you. He's got more plan than you know. Come on, amen. I'm going to have a bruise now, beating myself on the chest. We get knocked down, but we get up again. I get knocked down, I get up again. That's your song. My song is, weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Some of us get that. Not people like Vance or Pastor Terry. It's like people like me and Simone. We understand. We understand weebles. Write this down in your notes. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. If you've read the back of the book, if you've looked at the end of the story that God wrote in the Bible, come on, Michael. If you look at the back of the book, you look at the story God wrote about you, you're a winner. Come on, you're a winner. Ray, you're a winner. Come on, y'all with me? Pastor Tim, you're a winner. AJ, you're a winner. Jacked up Jennifer, you're a winner. She was on the jacked up juice today. You notice that? She's all with it during worship. She with it. Jacked up Jennifer. That's going to stick, I'm telling you right now. She's feeling the juice. Jennifer's feeling the juice and was jacked up today. I don't even know what that means now. But it's powerful. It was powerful. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. The battle's already been won. Satan's already defeated. He took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. They cannot defeat you. They cannot stop you. God's called you, and He will bring you to it. Every time He calls you to something, it will be accomplished. If it's His will, it's His bill, He'll get it done. Amen? Look at someone and say, He'll get it done. Brings me on my last point, number three. We battle forward with both tools and weapons. We battle forward with both tools and weapons. Listen, this is where it gets gritty. Everyone say gritty. I'm not saying you're not going to have times where you don't have to barrel down and get some strength in your faith. There's times we question if we're going to make it or not. If you think there wasn't times in my life, Pastor Terry and Anita's life, if you think there's not times in all every pastor's, every person's life that we think, man, this could take me out. And you have to remind yourself, no, no, no. I'm just down in the, as Nacho Libre would say, nitty gritty. Some of y'all get it. All right, cool. It's where it gets real. It's where you got to get your hands dirty. You got to get your knees dirty. You got to get down on your knees and remember you pray and you ask God to remind you of what He's called you to. Come on, y'all with me. So you got a tool in one hand, you got a weapon in another hand. I watched Jennifer and I teased her about being jacked up Jennifer because she was all over it today. But she was there and she would lead that worship. That's her tool. That's her gift. That's her talent. But yet in between, when she would acknowledge and she would exhort, she would preach, that was her weapon. Come on, y'all with me? She's got that gift, that talent, that tool, but then she got that weapon. Amen? You see the same thing in Pastor Terry as he comes up here and he's such an elegant speaker. He don't jump around like me. He's so polished and he's so good and I want to be like that, but I can't because I got to be me. But he's got that tool, and man, when he speaks, he's got that weapon. It cuts through the darkness. It cuts through the confusion. Come on, y'all, you know what I'm talking about. And so every one of you here, you got a gift, you got a talent, you got a tool, but you got to get a weapon. You got to get the word of God. You got to speak what God said concerning you, the promises of God for your life, what God has said to you. Don't let anyone else take it away. Don't let the voice of the critic take it away. Don't let your inner person take it away. Don't let your insecurities take it away. If he's called you to it, remind yourself daily. Come on, the battle is hot, but I'm going to win this thing. I'm going forward with a tool and a weapon. So the builders had bricks in one hand and swords in the other. They didn't wait for the war to end before they worked, right? They built in boldness during the pressure. That's how we battle. We got the word in one hand, and we got a weapon. That's our weapon. We got a tool in the other hand. The opposition, listen, Nehemiah didn't stop. You know why? Because the opposition didn't stop. You'll notice this. When the enemy comes against you, he'll knock on your door. If you don't answer, he'll lean on the doorbell. He don't go away. So if he's not going to stop, we're not going to stop. If he's going to be persistent, we're going to be more persistent. If he's going to fight, we're going to win no matter what, because we're going to keep on fighting, amen? Why? Because I got a tool and I've got a weapon. Because I'm both a prayer warrior, come on, and I'm also a warrior. Look at someone and say, you're a warrior. Come on, look at someone else and say, you're a warrior. This is a powerful image, because this is how we live today. This is how we fight today. We fight these spiritual battles, but we still raise our kids. We still serve in church. We still grow in faith. We still work toward the vision God placed in our heart. The battle getting hot don't mean we relax. That means we fight more. We go forward. We don't repel. We don't back up. No. We don't bend. We don't break. Why? Because God, who is greater than all, has called us. God, who is greater than all, is fighting with us. And not only is he fighting with us, we got a community that surrounds us. Look around at the community here. Look at the people that will love you. I love following. I listened just every Sunday to the message that's being preached around here. I've been listening to some of these people I hadn't spoke before, and I thought, man, Miss Kimber, she spoke, and I said, that lady is a preacher. Right? I mean, I've been listening to all these speakers, and I just think, that is fantastic. You're surrounded. And I also love going to, you have this little Facebook prayer area. Does anyone go to the prayer on Facebook? And I read, and I know what some of y'all are going through, and I love to pray for you. That was the setup that Nehemiah had. He positioned people around strategically of the wall. He made sure that the trumpeter stayed with him, because there was something going on, and when one part of the wall was being attacked, they'd blow the trumpet, and everyone would run to that part of the wall, and they'd fight together, and they'd make sure the people there were protected. Can I just say this to you? When you're going through a problem, don't isolate yourself. Don't pull yourself away from your community. Don't pull yourself away from your church, because we want to blast a trumpet and remind everyone that you're under attack. We're all going to run to you. We're going to fight with you. We're going to stand with you. We're going to battle with you. And together, come on, we will overcome. Come on, amen. We don't stop building just because it gets difficult. We fight smarter. We work stronger, and we stay ready. Nehemiah 4, verses 16 through 18. From that day on, half of my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. We're not doing this alone. In the words of the great prophet Michael Jackson, you are not alone. I am here with you. By the way, he's not really a prophet. Don't write that down. Don't put that in your notes. That's how we fight. Side by side. Are you playing where you're not alone? You're going to pull me right back into it, aren't you? Jacked up Jennifer, you're jacking me up now. You're not You got to get a different key. I can't do that key. Yeah, that's too high. Nehemiah put together a system that protected everyone. You know where a system came from? God's plan. God's plan. You're never alone unless you isolate yourself. You got a church community. You got pastors and staff. You got wonderful serve team members. Many I've known now for many years that have a heart to build. They have a heart to love. They have a heart to stand. They have a faith that outlasts trouble. Many of them have been here for years. I've watched them grow. I watch Pastor Andrea and Vance, how they've grown. And it's just like my heart feels so good. I look at Pastor Tim and Brenda. I just love that family. Right? Even him. I just... Jennifer, you're jacked up, but you got AJ. I'm sure he keeps you grounded. He's a big old man. He's a big old man. We cover each other in prayer. We balance each other out. We strengthen each other's faith. We speak the word to one another. My wife and I have made an agreement. We'll never get down together. We refuse. There's times she has to hold me up. There's times I have to hold her up. But we just refuse to get down together. Y'all with me? Huh. This is how we go forward, tools and weapons together. We carry bricks and blades because we're called to build and battle. Everyone say bricks and blades. Someone messes with you, I'll shank them. I got a blade, I got a shiv, I'll shank them. I'm sorry. Pastor Terry, you can correct all this next week. God's plan is being fulfilled. We will not give up. We will build. A tool in one hand, our gift being used, and our weapon ready to be used, amen? Hey! The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:13 says it this way, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Everyone say stand. Come on, everyone say stand. Write this down. We don't wait for peace to build. We build in the middle of pressure. We build in the middle of pressure. We're not the first to face opposition during obedience. You don't have a market on trouble. You're not facing something someone else hasn't faced. Most of the time when I face something, you know what I say? I look and I say, I wonder if anyone's ever survived this. Because if there's another survivor, I know I can be the next. And I'm telling you, whatever you're going through, somebody's already been through, and they're proof that you can come through. Come on, y'all with me. So just think about that for a moment. So yes, we face resistance. We face pressure. We feel the weight, but we are not alone. God fights for us. Your community stands with you. Together we can make it, amen? We're building something that will last. Let's strengthen one another. Let's build even through the battle. Come on, everyone shout, build to last. Come on, everyone shout, build to last. You believe that? Can I just pray for you? Father, I pray for every individual that's here right now. God, I pray they'd begin to understand just how much you love them. That they're the apple of your eye. There's nothing that you will not do for them. God, there's no good thing that you withhold from them. Every need they have, you will supply according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God, though the battle gets hot and sometimes it feels like it rages on, we're not alone. We stand together. We'll focus on the purpose of our mission. Now, we're heads about and eyes closed, people are praying. This is just a couple of questions I like to ask each service. First one is simply this. Maybe you're here, you're born again, you know Jesus Christ, you know you're going to heaven, there's no doubt in your mind. But maybe you've been facing some heat. Maybe you've been facing the battle. Maybe you've had some critical things taking place. Maybe you feel like you're just in halftime and you need some encouragement. Maybe during this talk today, God's Spirit's dealt with you in some of those areas that you need to just really reach and change. The last 77 minutes of all that we've done in this service, God has come down to this moment to speak to your heart about some growth, about some alterations and adjustments in your spiritual life. Oh, you're good, but you know Holy Spirit spoke to you about some changes you need to make. If that's you, although you're born again, and you know you need to make some of those changes that God spoke to you about during this message, and you want prayer in a way of asking for prayer, come on, just slip your hand up and right back down. Good, 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 good. So many hands, thank you. Thank you so much. So many hands, you can put them right back down. Thank you, thank you. Father, I pray for every individual. God, I just pray that in the name of Jesus, that you'll remind them that you see all things, you hear all prayers, all noise. God, I just pray that right now in the name of Jesus, you'll reach down and remind them that you walk with them. You know their hearts. You're strengthening them. That you'll never leave them. You'll never forsake them. But you're with them even to the end of the earth. God, I pray as they leave this place, Holy Spirit, remind them of this moment. Remind them in the coming days, weeks, months, and even years of the change you spoke to their heart right now. In the name of Jesus. Now, one more question. It's one I never close the service without asking. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord? I'm not asking you if you went to church as a child, you were baptized as a baby. I'm not even asking you if you're a good person. Those things are fine, but that won't get you to heaven. The Bible says that we've all sinned. Because Adam fell, sin passed through all of us, and the Bible tells us sin separates us from God, so we were born in sin, separated from God. The Bible goes on to say, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. In the Old Testament, that's why they would take a lamb, known as the spotless lamb, the firstborn. They would sacrifice the animal. The high priest would take the blood from the animal sacrifice and offer it in ceremonial fashion. But because a man sinned, ultimately a man would have to die. That's why Jesus came to earth in the form of a man. He lived a perfect life. That's why he's known as the spotless lamb, as spotless lamb of God. At the end of his life, they led him to a cross where he laid his life down. They crucified him, spilling out his blood. His blood doesn't cover sin. His blood erases sin, obliterates sin, past, present, and future from our life. The book of Romans says this, so listen carefully because this is salvation. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. What does that mean to be saved? Well, first of all, it means saved from empty life on this earth, that void, that chasm, that emptiness you've had in your heart. Maybe through the years you've tried to fill it with drugs or alcohol, parties, relationships, business, money, career, hobbies, busyness. But you end up saying there must be more to life than this. And there is, but it's not something, it's someone. His name is Jesus. Secondly, it means saved into a place called heaven. When this life is over, eternity begins. It's either heaven or hell. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not even trying to tell you about hell. I'm trying to tell you about heaven. God has prepared heaven for you. Heaven's a perfect place. No more sickness, no more pain, no more disease. Love, joy, peace in the presence of Jesus with those that you love and those you influence to go with you. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father which is in heaven but by me. So once again, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here right now, you're not sure where you stand with God. You need to make sure today that heaven's your future. We're not going to put a spotlight on you. We're not going to call you forward. We just want to pray for you right there where you're at, like we prayed for the others. But if you know you need Jesus, as these others already have, come on, just slip your hand up and right back down. Just slip it up and right back down. God bless you. I see you there. God bless you. I see you there. Someone else, just slip your hand up. Say, Pastor Kevin, that's me. Include me in that prayer. I need to make Jesus Lord of my life. Come on, just slip it up and right back down so we can pray for you. We can include you in this prayer. All right. I'm going to pray this prayer. Those of you that lifted your hand, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me out loud, not by yourself, but everyone here that is born again. I'm going to ask you to say it with them. Let's say it all together. Come on. Father, everyone together. Father, I believe in Jesus. I believe he's your son. I believe he died on a cross. He was buried and rose again. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord, my Savior. Forgive me for my sin. Make me new. From this day forward, I place my life completely in your hands. And I place myself in a local church to learn more of you, that through greater knowledge of who you are, I will grow in deeper love with you. In Jesus' name. Come on, welcome these to the family of God. Come on, church. Come on, celebrate.
Thanks for joining us. If you said that prayer and surrendered your life to Jesus, it's the best decision you will ever make, and we would like to celebrate with you. We have some tools to help you on your journey. Simply text DECIDED to 352-329-2301. That's 352-329-2301. Join us next time as we continue to love God, love people, and make disciples.